Hey, you want to know what I'm really not good at? Cold openings. Welcome to the Film Threat Podcast. Hey, everybody. It's Anthony Ray Bench with the Film Threat Podcast. Just doing a checkup from Sundance. I'm joined by Matt Pasentino. Chris Gore is passed out in bed. He had a long day, bless his heart. So tell me about your day, man. Like, you woke up way earlier than I did. I thought we were gonna leave together, but you took off before me.
Yeah, I had a 9 o'clock. Mm-hmm. Oh god, it's been a long day. What did I see at 9 o'clock?
Yeah. Like, the day is kind of a blur for me too. Oh,
I can't talk about the 9 o'clock.
Oh, you have an embargo?
I have an embargo until Wednesday, but tweets were allowed. So what I tweeted about Hearts Beat Loud is that it...
Are you even allowed to talk about your tweets? You should just direct them to your Twitter.
Yeah, go to my Twitter.
Yeah, self-promote yourself.
Follow me, please.
Yeah.
But I cannot...
What is your Twitter account, sir?
At Matt Pasentino. So I cannot confirm or deny if I really liked that movie.
Well, I started a little bit later than you. I went to go see the Mr. Rogers documentary.
Oh, everyone's raving about it on Twitter.
Oh, man. Won't You Be My Neighbor? I mean, I think everybody, you know, like, living grew up with Mr. Rogers, or at least is aware of Mr. Rogers, at least in the U.S. I don't know how international he reached. But the documentary was so beautiful. It really didn't delve too much into his personal life. It really started with how his career started, where he was on a small TV station in Pittsburgh, and he wanted to create programming for kids because there was this new thing called TV. And he says in the documentary, there's a lot of footage of actually, like, Fred Rogers, not just people talking about him. There's both. But in an interview, he says, you know, like, I discovered this new thing called TV, and I realized this could be an amazing tool to teach and you know, like, just change kids' lives. But everything I watched on TV was just people getting splatted in the face with pies and just, you know, like, just mindless, dumb humor. And it kind of made me think, like, that's really all we have now, especially in terms of children's programming. Mm-hmm. The interesting thing about Fred Rogers was he treated kids like they were human, you know, like, not like they were a target audience. And the documentary really drives that home. It was beautiful. There were these segments that were animated. Basically, I don't know how familiar you are with the show, but there's a puppet named Daniel, which the little tiger. It basically acts as kind of like Fred Rogers is kind of, I guess, alter ego, kind of this naive, like, almost inner child type thing. They animate these things, these little, I guess, like, segments where they're talking about him, talking about how he feels about certain events that happened during this television run. And the animation for this is gorgeous. It looks like it's a children's book come to life. It's amazing. One thing, you know, like, not to, I guess, kind of harp on it, but I feel like a lot of documentaries kind of stay away from politics and religion. This one didn't necessarily stay away. It kind of stayed away from politics for the most part. It did say that he was a lifelong Republican, but didn't get into, you know, kind of like what he believed. But it did not shy away from reminding the audience that he was a Christian. He was a Presbyterian. He was a ordained minister. He considered his show to be his ministry towards children. I mean, it never got, like, fully evangelical, but, you know, like, if you kind of look at it from that perspective, it kind of makes sense. But it follows his life all the way up to his funeral, where the Westboro Baptist Church picketed, you know, those guys are assholes.
Yeah.
I adored it. I think it's a must-see.
I really do want to see that documentary. It sounds great, but I don't know if I'll
get it. It was hard to get into. I was surprised I got a ticket. The place was packed, crowded.
Yeah. After that, I tried to go see one called American Animals, but you know how as these things go, they start late. And
yeah.
Even if I had a ticket, and they were only letting people in chunks at a time. And so finally, when I heard someone say that they were starting the movie, I was like, well, I'm out of here. I don't want to miss anything of the movie, especially if I'm going to write about it. So then I saw Monsters and Men.
Okay.
Which was a feature debut from Ronaldo Marcus Green, I believe his name was. And it's pretty powerful. I didn't think it was anything absolutely stellar, but it had many powerful moments. It's centered around the shooting of a black man by a police officer and how it affects three different people. And so the first person we see on screen is a black man. He's driving, and it's actually Denzel Washington's son. And he gets pulled over. No reason. And then he pulls his shirt down and covers a gun on his side. Mm-hmm. Well, he's an officer as well. And he's getting pulled over and no reason's given. And he tells him, he's like, I'm on the job right now.
Yeah.
And they still run, the officer still runs his license plate. And then we meet Manny, who's just trying to make a living for his girlfriend and his children. And he's out one day with friends and police roll up on them, start giving them trouble, asking questions, and Manny's recording it, and while he's recording this altercation, his friend gets shot. And so then he struggles. Manny, I think, has the most powerful segment of the movie, because he really wrestles with, does he release this video or not? Mm-hmm. You know, his girlfriend's telling him, you know, your friend wouldn't want you to do that, he'd want you to protect your family, but, you know, he's rightfully built up a lot of rage and anger towards about this, and so he releases it, and that kind of changes everything. And then the last one we meet is a high schooler. It's about the last third of the movie. It's not very, I mean, we cut back and forth. It's not very segmented as I'm making it out to be. Mm-hmm. This high school baseball star, he's, you know, on the cusp of getting recruited, and, you know, this everything that happened changed how he looks at the world and how he feels the world looks at him. And he wants to get more involved with, like, the demonstrations. And so it's, you know, it's a very of-the-moment movie, and it's quite powerful. But, you know, I feel like some of these stories within it were kind of left unfinished.
So no resolution, just kind of hanging plot threads?
Kind of. And, I mean, we know what happens, but we're not shown it.
Yeah.
So it just kind of feels like an incomplete experience. And it's, you know, it does lean into a bit of a heavy-handedness at some time, but I think the power of it outweighs anything else that's wrong with it. And then after that, I saw do you know the comedian Bo Burnham?
Oh yeah, yeah. Yeah, I love Bo Burnham.
I love Bo Burnham. He's like obnoxiously talented.
Oh yeah, yeah. One of my favorite things he does is the country song?
Yes.
Like his country song Pandering.
Yes, Pandering.
Yeah. That made me laugh so bad, because I hate country music. Me like too. Unless it's like old school Johnny Cash.
Right.
You know, like
agreed.
Where it was so different back then, like it actually had something to say, and now like if you watch the video, that's what country music is. Like 99% of the stuff that, you know, gets played on the radio is just beer, chicks, and dirt roads.
And like, you know, he's making fun of country music, but he nails it. It's true.
He's a great musician, a great singer, like a great poet, just very sharp. Like, just
it's like unfair how talented he is.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
So, you know,
as an English major, like I just see that guy and I'm like, I'm nowhere on your level, dude. I hate you so much because you're that good.
I mean, he was in, you know, he had a little bit role in like movies like The Big Sick, and he did an episode of Park, so he's kind of everywhere. But you know, he's moving on to writing and directing movies. And he directed one called Eighth Grade. Mm-hmm. It centers around Kayla. She's in her last week of eighth grade going into high school, and she's played by Elsie Fisher. in an absolute Star Is Born performance. She actually has quite a long list of filmography on IMDb, some, you know, Despicable Me voice work and things like that. But, okay. I mean, she's, you know, is in terms of how these high school movies go, she's an outcast and, you know, all the girls don't like her. She's weird, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, this movie is smart. It's very much been there, done that in terms mm-hmm. of, you know, coming of age and all that. But it's really smart because it doesn't make Kayla into any kind of victim. She kind of operates in her own existence and she makes video, like these inspirational videos for, you know, I don't think they say YouTube, but YouTube essentially. And, kind of does her own thing. And, you know, Bo Burnham's has a twisted sense of humor. And, you know, that kind of shines through a little bit. I mean, there's an entirely unnecessary segment of, like, the school doing, like, a drill for if there was a school shooter. And this is just, like, his dark, dark humor coming through, I think. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, while it is very much a been-there movie, it's quite funny and it's quite moving. Her father has a very nice speech that, you know, there were some sniffles around me, and I dug it.
Cool, man. I see there's quite a few screenings of it, actually. I might have to check it out. I didn't even know that this existed.
There's a P&I tomorrow night.
Okay. Well, maybe I'll check it out. So the other movie I saw, this is actually the only other movie I saw today, was Dead Pigs. And it's I've never seen a movie like this. And that kind of works in its favor and also against its favor. It's this weird movie that takes place in Shanghai, which they do a fantastic job visually of, like, capturing the scope of the city. Like, there's some amazing cinematography in this movie. It follows five different characters. So the first character we meet is this drunken pig farmer. And there's this epidemic going around where all the pigs are just killing over and dying. And it's explained at the end. I kind of wish it wasn't explained at the end, kind of left it a little, you know, ambiguous. Because I do like ambiguity when, you know, it...
Done effectively.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, unlike what we talked about yesterday.
Yeah, yeah. And unlike Private Life, I just thought that was a cheap cop-out. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the pig farmer is just a drunken, like, he goes to, like, this whole, like, VR demonstration, and he's just like, I'm going to buy it. And the lady's like, yeah, okay. He just tosses his money around and buys booze. And then we're introduced to another woman who, like, owns this, like, barbershop. Like, her first scene is she's, like, doing this, like, drill where, like, they're chanting stuff and, like, doing all these movements and standing at attention. And it looks like almost like it's a military thing. And then at the end, they just walk in and start cutting people's hairs. It's really kind of weird. But so anyways, then after that, we are introduced to this businessman who, he's from America. He wants to purchase land and build this city that's kind of a mix between West and East. And like it's like the architecture is Spanish, and it's like going to be an apartment complex. And he keeps on saying, oh, you know, people need houses. And it's like, obviously it's going to cater for rich people and poor people aren't going to afford it. And then the other character is like this spoiled rich girl who's just really mean and bratty. And the last of the characters we follow is a busboy that lies about being a busboy. He you know, tells his dad he's successful and, you know, he's rich and, you know, he has all the money and stuff like that, but he's really just a busboy. So all these characters are introduced separately, and then as the movie progresses, we realize that they're all connected in interesting ways. Like the busboy, his dad is actually the drunk pig farmer.
Oh.
You know, like the woman who runs the barbershop, she's in danger of losing her house, and you find out that her brother is the drunken pig farmer, and he wants her to sell the house so that the businessman can make property on it. Like, it's all just kind of connected in really interesting ways. You kind of start out and you're like, where is this going? Like, you know, why are these characters, what is this movie? And yeah. Then it becomes clear. I do feel like it was really long, and it just kind of dragged in places. And then there was crazy stuff that just happened out of nowhere. Like at the end, there's this weird like sing along that happens, and there's actually lyrics on the bottom of the screen so the audience can sing along. No one sang along. That right. went over like a fart in church. Like just nobody participated at all. So it's done in Mandarin, Shanghainese, and English. The only character that really speaks English is the American businessman. He's kind of, you know, like his career is on the line with this business deal. But like I said, there's some stuff that just kind of comes out of nowhere and just makes it super weird. I would recommend this to certain people, but not everybody, because I don't think everybody would really kind of appreciate the craziness.
I like weird shit, but
yeah, not everybody does.
Right. But I'm also not thinking I'm going to try to, you know, rearrange my schedule to see this one.
Yeah. Yeah. I wouldn't either. If I could do it over again, I would have picked another movie, to be honest. But that's where my day ended. After that, I walked out of the theater and it was walking into like a freaking blizzard.
Yeah, it's still coming down pretty good out there.
Yeah, it's going to be coming down for a while.
I think all day tomorrow.
Yeah, yeah.
It's going to make walking around fun.
Like I believe like the high is like 27 degrees, which was today's low.
Yeah.
Or yesterday's low, I'm sorry. Like we're on Sundance schedule. It's all kind of wacky.
Time stands still on Sundance.
Yeah, but did you see anything else?
Nope, just those three. When I didn't make it into that American Animals premiere. I kind of just cheated and ducked into a documentary at the Press and Industry Theater and only watched about 45 minutes of it. It was good.
Mm-hmm.
It was about the women, female directors, and or should I say the lack of female directors and opportunities. And
yeah,
it seemed pretty interesting, but I really just needed a place to crash for 45 minutes to an hour until my next movie.
You know, not necessarily that I agree with this, but it's an interesting, you know, kind of thing to bring up. We did a podcast, me and Chris Gore did a podcast at LA Podfest. And one of our guests was Hal Sparks. I don't know if you know who that is.
Name sounds very familiar.
Yeah, he used to be the host of Talk Soup after Greg Kinnear on, you know, E! Entertainment. He was in Queer as Folk. He's been in a lot of stuff. He's a good guy. But we also had two female filmmakers, like two, you know, we had Jessica Cameron and Kate Rhys-Davies. She's a member of the Alliance of Women Directors, and they were both championing, you know, more gender diversity, you know, in the Directors Guild of America. And Hal Sparks brought up the, you know, like the idea, and I kind of agree with it a little bit, but it's like, can you watch a film and say for certain, like, yeah, a female directed that? And he said, what I want more is female writers.
Mm.
And I think that was an interesting perspective. Yeah. Because, you know, so many movies are told by the male perspective.
Mm.
And yeah, like, you know, not to diminish a director's role, but it doesn't really, you know, mark that view like as much as a writer does.
Yeah, that's interesting.
In my opinion. But anyways, yeah, I found that fascinating. After that, man, I just walked around Main Street. Main Street's really cool. Have you got a chance to explore?
I haven't even made it to Main yet.
Yeah,
I haven't gone past Park.
Yeah, we walked to Park from the Eccles. It was a nice little walk.
I did that about twice today.
Yeah, I've been getting so much exercise. I think I got a pretty solid grasp on the transit system, like the shuttles.
Mm.
So that's really good.
Yeah, I mean, today I didn't mind doing any walking. Tomorrow will be interesting.
Yeah. Well, tomorrow.
Today.
Yeah.
Later.
Well, today. Literally, I'm seeing a movie like a block away from our condo. So tomorrow's going to be a really easy day for me. I'm waking up and seeing the Robin Williams documentary, which I'm super excited about. And, you know, our listeners will hear all about it. But anyways, I think it's time to sign off because we really need to get some sleep.
Yep. Full day tomorrow.
Yep. And the way we sign off is we say, let's get out of here.
Let's get out of here.